Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I'm Dr. Samantha Ege, and in this Barbican podcast, The Music of the Black Renaissance, we're exploring classical music composers from this era with a focus on their piano music. Although the Black Renaissance marks a unique period in American history, its influences travel further, especially when it comes to the classical music that emerged from this period. In this episode, we'll be focusing on its British and Canadian founding fathers. We begin with the British Samuel Coleridge Taylor and the Canadian Robert Nathaniel Dett, both of whom developed a musical style that would go on to inspire the next generation of African-American composers. We'll begin with Samuel Coleridge Taylor, the earlier of the two composers. Coleridge Taylor was born in 1875 and died in 1912. He was a mixed-race composer, violinist, and conductor of both English and Sierra Leonean descent. During his tragically short time on this earth, Coleridge Taylor made waves in the British classical scene. He studied at the Royal College of Music, counting Gustav Holst and Vaughan Williams among his classmates. Coleridge Taylor began to focus his attentions more on composition than performance, arriving at a mature voice that had resonances of Brahms, Grieg, and Dvorak. And the American press regularly praised him as an African Mahler. But his voice was unmistakably his own. The Song of Hiawatha, which is a cantata based on the poetry of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, was one of his most enduring works. In fact, it used to receive regular performances in the Royal Albert Hall. Coleridge Taylor was a huge name in his time and truly ought to be in ours. Some of his works drew influence from African and African-American folk songs. This was major for Black composers in the States to have a prominent African-descended composer from outside of the States, validating and honouring the music that white Americans disparaged on a daily basis through things like blackface minstrelsy and other propaganda about the inferiority of Black people. In 1905, Coleridge Taylor composed an extended suite called 24 Negro Melodies, where he composes these emotionally rich and musically technical works based on spirituals and other kind of folk songs. While the word Negro is generally understood as derogatory and archaic, here it is used with pride, and that sense of pride was hugely empowering for Black listeners. The piece I want to tell you about is Coleridge Taylor's Moorish Dance, which was published the year before the 24 Negro Melodies collection. Again, the term Moor took on derogatory connotations in relation to people from North Africa. But Coleridge Taylor's music is all about restoring pride and power. When I'm playing this piece, I can imagine in my mind North Africans from the Middle Ages on horses. There are these pervasive galloping rhythms that are a lot of fun to play. And these decorative arabesque patterns imitating the intricacies of Arabic calligraphy. The style is so regal and grand. It's so different to the works of white composers like Debussy, who referenced black cultural influences, but without any respect, without the desire to honour the traditions behind them. When you hear Coleridge Taylor's Moorish Dance, you'll understand why the revival of ancient black histories and traditional folk heritages resonated so deeply in an era that was all about rebirth, renewal, and reconnection. Coleridge Taylor was a huge influence on Robert Nathaniel Dett, who was born in 1882 and died in 1943. Coleridge Taylor's treatment of spirituals and other black folk songs illuminated greater possibilities for Dett, who was similarly interested in developing a classical compositional voice along these lines. Like Coleridge Taylor, Dett was a product of the Romantic tradition. A tradition characterized by lyrical song-like melodies, impassioned harmonies, and dramatic flair. And again, like Coleridge Taylor, one of Dett's best-known works is a choral one called The Ordering of Moses, written in 1937. Dett was a choral conductor and widely recognized for his work at the Hampton Institute in Virginia, where he was appointed their first black director of music. Spiritual arrangements formed an important part of the performance programs under Dett's instruction. And as a result, Dett played a major role in shaping the performance tradition of spirituals and black folk songs in choral contexts. Dett also wrote a lot of piano works. One of his best known is a five-movement suite called In the Bottoms, which he wrote in 1914. It's a wonderfully sensitive and evocative portrayal of Southern life in the United States. The piece I want to focus on is called The Daybreak Charioteer, from a suite called Tropic Winter. It's not geographically grounded like some of his others. We don't hear overt African-American folk influences, but it's very evocative. There is such warmth in Dett's piano writing. You can really feel the sense of daylight breaking through. This piece will definitely wake you up. One of Dett's students was the composer Zenobia Powell Perry, and in the next episode, you'll hear this influence in her music. As our exploration into Coleridge Taylor and Dett has shown, the Black Renaissance might have taken off in the United States, but its influences were much broader, international even. Coleridge Taylor and Dett were part of that early generation of Black Renaissance composers. But join us next week to hear the music of the women who took the movement even further. If you liked today's episode, subscribe to the Barbican's Nothing Concrete podcast on Acast, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Today's episode was recorded by Rowan Lovell. My albums featuring the music in this podcast series are available to buy on the Laurelt label.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.